Good evening, friends.
What we've just had read for us is a very strange episode, isn't it, in the Bible? Both episodes are pretty strange. The gnats, one of the 10 plagues on Egypt, that was pretty strange. But the whole event of Simon of Samaria is fairly strange. And as far as characters of the Bible go, Simon's pretty strange, isn't he? He is an unusual character in an unusual event in a very unusual place, namely Samaria. I'm not going to actually explain all this tonight so much as raise two very important points with you leading to a conclusion. But let's just quickly check over what has been said here. Simon is a magician. And what's more, a successful magician. Look down there, verse 9. See, there was a man, Simon, who had previously practiced magic in the city, amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was great. They all paid attention to him, for the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." Simon was a very successful and effective magician. And the magicians in the court of Egypt were successful and effective too. Not all the time, they couldn't do the gnats, but they could do several of the things. If you remember, Moses throws down his staff and it turns into a snake, and the Egyptians threw down their staffs and they turned into snakes. Magicians can do all kinds of things successfully and effectively. Simon, though, believed Philip's message. In verse 12, we heed of many people believed what Philip was preaching. And verse 13, Simon himself believed. But of course, Philip, as he preached the gospel, he also did miracles. You see some of the miracles back there in verse 7 and 8 about healing many people and exorcising people and the like, but also the great miracles are mentioned in verse 13. Now, here is the point that we need to see. There is a great confusion between miracles and magic. Look further and you'll see more about Simon of Samaria here. You see, the apostles came down from Jerusalem to pray over the people in Samaria, and as an expression of that fellowship in prayer, laid hands upon the people. And they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw it, he also wanted to be able to lay hands on people so that they would receive the Spirit. He even offered them money to learn how to do this powerful thing of hand laying upon, that it may happen. And he receives an enormous rebuke in verse 20 through to 23. "May your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God from money. You neither have parted." He really gets a rocket from the apostle like you really wouldn't want to receive. And yet, Simon takes up what Peter says. For Peter challenges in verse 22, "Repent therefore of this wickedness of yours. Pray that the Lord, that if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven." And we see in verse 24, Simon saying, "Pray for me to the Lord, that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." Here was the conversion of a magician. A strange one, isn't it? A conversion which takes place over several times. He believes, and yet clearly his heart is still caught up in magic. And yet he really does believe, because when he gets the challenge from the apostle, it's praying for forgiveness. We never hear whether God forgives him, whether he goes on. This is the end of our knowledge of Simon. But we leave him asking for prayer. We leave him responding appropriately to the challenge that the apostle gives, that perhaps forgiveness will come to him even yet. But do you see the confusion that is there? The confusion between the great miracle working that you see through Moses in the Old Testament, but you see now through Philip, and you also see through the apostles, and the magic of the magicians back in Egypt or here with Simon. There is great confusion between these, and the confusion that the evil one would have us to be confused about comes in two forms. One in the form of denial, the other in the form of counterfeit. Now, the denial confusion is that there are many people abroad who say that God cannot do anything physically in this world. There are no miracles that can take place. There is only the material world we're in with cause and effect. And God, if he is there, or any other supernatural power, cannot do anything. If you ever think you've seen a miracle, it's really just superstition. God cannot be at work in this world because this world has been created by God like a machine. It works like a machine, and there is no interaction between the supernatural and the natural. And so the devil is very keen that we never actually turn to God in prayer and ask him anything, because there is nothing God can do. But there's another confusion about the miracles. For when the deniers make all miracles into superstition, the other response is to make a confusion between miracles and magic so that the magic counterfeits the miracles. Anything that can be seen to have happened by the hand of God seems also to be happening by the hands of magicians, of healings that will take place without the reference to God. Miraculous, astonishing healings taking place, or being promised to us to take place. Now, there are two big points that I make about this confusion. First point, miracles are not magic. They are very, very different. Miracles are extraordinary. There's no doubt about that. That's part of what a miracle is, that it is extraordinary. Indeed, I went to just one dictionary to be consistent in preparing for this talk. Miracles are an event that appears to be contrary to the laws of nature and is regarded as an act of God. It's when God acts in such a way that we're surprised, we're astonished, we're amazed. It doesn't fit into our normal expectations in this world. It goes beyond our normal explanations. We don't have the explanation. Now, sometimes, of course, we can find the explanation. The crossing of the Red Sea is a classic. And that is pretty miraculous, that a whole people can cross the Red Sea, and then that the whole army that follows them of the Egyptians gets drowned in the same sea. That's pretty miraculous. But we're taught in the scriptures that God did it by sending a great wind to drive the waters back. Doesn't make it any less miraculous that we learnt how he did it. It's still pretty miraculous that God should send the right wind at the right moment to get the people across at the right time and then stop the wind at the right moment so as to drown the Egyptians. It's still the hand of God doing something miraculous. Miraculous is when we see the hand of God at work in this world in ways that we are not expecting, that are extraordinary, that are unusual. But magic? What's magic? Well, magic is a supposed supernatural power that makes impossible things happen or gives somebody control over the forces of nature. Now, it's very similar, isn't it? But it's fundamentally different. Because magic is about gaining control. Control over the universe, control over the supernatural forces, control over God, control over the physical world. The magician is the control merchant. A miracle is not a matter of control. Moses didn't control God to send the wind to drive the water back that they could cross the sea. Moses may ask God to do that, but God is in control, not Moses. And there wasn't a set of rituals or spells or skills or techniques that he had by which he could force God to do something. For that's what magic is about. It's about spells and incantations. It's about rituals and forcing, gaining control by all kinds of techniques into this world so that the gods or God or the powers or whatever it might be, the physical forces of the world, come under your control, so that you can force things to happen. Magic is quite different, you see. That's why when Simon sees them laying hands on the Samaritans and people coming to have the Spirit of God, Simon assumes that there's some technique. If you just showed my hands where to lay, if I laid them this way or that way, or do I put them this, that there's some force, there's some power, there's some control that I could have. If I could have this mechanism, then I can do the miracles. But it's not miracles. Miracles are the sovereign act of God. Magic is the control of the magician. Very, very different. Although it looks similar. For the Egyptian magicians threw down their staffs and it turned into snakes. As Moses had thrown down his staff and it turned into a snake. It's a counterfeit, you see. It's a counterfeit of the miracles. But it's not the same as a miracle. Because it's not about God sovereignly doing what he wants to do. It's about the magician controlling God, or controlling the world, or controlling to make things happen. And so there is a second point I want to draw, a second very important principle. Faith is not superstition. See, faith means trusting, believing, depending, relying upon a personal God. I these days am sorry we have this word faith, because when you go out into the marketplace of Sydney streets and ask people what faith means, they'll rarely come up with these definitions. This is not what people think. People think faith is some kind of irrational religious experience. But that's not what the word means in the Bible ever. In the Bible it means trusting, believing, depending, relying. In fact, they're four good, very good, everyday English non-religious words, any one of which would be a better translation than the word faith in the Bible if we're speaking in modern English. I trust people. I rely upon them. I depend upon them. That's not irrational. I mean, I trust Chris Allen. I was just about to say that's not irrational. It depends how you know Chris. No, that's not irrational, is it? You're going to trust Chris Allen? I mean, ultimately, I am responsible for the healing ministry here on a Wednesday night. But I trust him that he is leading this ministry on a Wednesday night. I don't ring him up 5 minutes to six and say, Chris, are you there? Have you prepared? Are you going to be there? I don't turn up and check up on him. I trust him. He says he'll be here. He's here. He has your heart and your interests on his heart. He'll be here. I know his concern for you and for this congregation and for this ministry. He'll be here. I don't ever have to... I trust him. Is that irrational? Is that stupid? Is that a leap into the dark of ignorance? No. It's trust. It's a way of talking about interpersonal relationships. It's relying upon a person, depending upon a person, trusting a person. That's what faith is. I have faith in Chris Allen. And so far, my faith has not been misplaced. Although, don't tell him that. I've got to keep him under a little bit of kind of question, haven't we? And so, trust is something, faith is something you have all the time in lots of ways. You climb into the bus that says it's taking you to Circular Quay. You trust the bus driver. You trust that he knows how to drive the bus, that he's licensed to drive the bus. You trust that he knows the way to Circular Quay, which going down Short Street's not all that complicated, isn't it? But you never know. You just do it. In fact, it doesn't even cross your mind to do it. Because trust is an everyday experience of people. Of course, the important thing in trust is not trust. The important thing in trust is what you trust. Or who you trust. If you trust a crook, you're going to be ripped off, aren't you? You trust an honest man, and you're not going to be ripped off. The important thing is not trusting, the important thing is who you trust, or whom you trust. But that's what faith is about. It's about trusting the person, and it can be completely reasonable, sensible thing to do. In fact, unreasonable not to trust the person. Superstition, on the other hand, is a different thing. Superstition is an irrational, but usually deep-seated belief. in the magical effects of a specific action or ritual, especially in the likelihood that good or bad luck will result from performing it. And so you watch them, you watch the tennis players, you watch the golf players, you watch the cricketers on television. They're all so superstitious, aren't they? You know, they wipe their head with the right kind of red handkerchief that he always carries whenever he's batting. You know, they get their golf stick and they waggle it just the right number of times. They turn around, touch the toes, touch their nose, whatever it may be, you can see the superstition. Sometimes the superstition is a Christianly religious superstition. You see them crossing themselves. They haven't learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know why they cross themselves, but if I cross myself, well, then I'll win this football game. As if somehow a crucifixion and winning a football game are connected. Some front rows of some rugby scrums, that may be true, but generally speaking, it's not true. It's got nothing to do with it. But yet there is this, if I do these things, good things happen. And if I forget to do these things, bad things happen. And it's irrational. There's no basis for it. There's no reason for it. It's just this. Now you can see how superstition goes with magic. If I've got the right ritual, I've got the right technique, I've got the right system, I can force a good result out of God or out of the gods or out of the powers or whatever it might be that you believe in. Whereas miracles and faith go together. I trust God to do what is best in this situation. And I call upon God to do things for me because I know he listens to my prayers and he loves me and he wants for me whatever may be the best. But my prayers trust him. My prayers don't manipulate him. Trust and manipulation aren't the same thing, are they? Trust is saying, I trust that you'll do the right thing. I ask you to do this for me. Please, will you do this for me? You see, when he says in verse 24, pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me, he is trusting the apostle and he's asking for the Lord to help him. So, what we do here on a Wednesday night is we pray to our Heavenly Father for healing. It's not magic, friends, and it's not superstition. They're not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is faith in our Heavenly Father. He is the one who is in control of everything. And any healing that may ever come will only come because his hand is upon us. And so we're asking him for his hand to come upon us. And that healing might be extraordinary, such that we would say, that's a miracle. For that is what we're asking for very often. But it's not happening because we've laid hands upon the person, or because we've got the exact right words, which mean God has to do it to us, or that we've somehow powered God into doing. We can't power God into doing anything. That's magic. So we avoid the devil in his denial of miracles happening. We believe in miracles happening. We believe that God is alive and active and powerful and can change anything in this world that he wishes to do so. We believe. We will not go with the denial of the atheistic materialist mindset. Nor will we go with the counterfeit and jump from denial into counterfeit, jump from nothing ever happens into forcing things to happen by magic. It's not magic, it's not denial, it's a belief in the miraculous power of God, whom we trust as our Heavenly Father. And if you trust him as your Heavenly Father, then you ask him for help. And that's what prayer is, asking God for help. And we pray for each other, laying hands on each other as that expression of faith in our prayers for each other, that God may be so kind as to heal us of whatever affliction we have, knowing that he is the Heavenly Father who loves us so much as to send his Son for us, that we may be forgiven. And say, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for everything you've given to us, but above all for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, by which we may come to you through the power of his Spirit that he gives to us and call you our Father. We thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers, that you care for us and love us, that you know of our afflictions and our sufferings and of our difficulties and our pain. And Heavenly Father, we pray, knowing that you are more willing to hear than we are to ask, that you will bless us this night, that as we pray for the various needs in our lives, which are so different amongst us, but as we pray for each one of them, that you will be kind to us and loving to us and give us those things which are the very best for us, that we may be healed in accordance with your will, that we might rejoice in being able to give thanks to you for the wonderful way in which you have dealt with us, that we might rejoice in our healing and declare your greatness as you work amongst us. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.